Today's daf is Shabbos daf Zayin. We are holding on to Vav Amud Beis. We are at the two dots at Omar Mar. So I'm going to apologize in advance. I did not have time to prepare this stuff with all the craziness going on. So we're going to sort of figure this out together. So let's try to do that. Today's shiur is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and by Manny and Marsha Wasserman in honor of their children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. We thank them very much for the sponsorship. Am I missing any sponsors? Okay, fantastic. So again, we're holding at Amar Mar on Daf Vav Amud Beis. So the Gemara discusses that we had said that a bika has a din of a karmelis. A bika is an area with a lot of open fields, so we had said that it has a din of a karmelis. So Amar Mar, so we had said in the Brisa, and again we continue to analyze the Brisa that we had quoted on Daf Vav Amud Aleph. So we had said in the Brisa, Aval Yam Ubika, a place that has a lot of fields, Vaha Istavanis, or a place that's an open area in front of the stores where the Sochrim sit, Va Karmelis, and then we said, and a karmelis, do not have the status of Rishus Yachid, nor do they have the status of Rishus Rabim. Ubika, Eina Loka Rishus Yachid, Loka Rishus Rabim. Is that true that Ubika does not have the status of either Rishus Yachid or Rishus Rabim? But don't we have a mission in the sixth paragraph of Maseches Taharos that tells us, Habika b'yimosachama, during the summertime, a bika, an open field where there's nothing planted in there, Rishus Yachid, the Shabbos, has the status of Rishus Yachid as far as Shabbos is concerned, because people do not walk there, because it's not you're not going to find that Holchei Drachim are going to veer from the path and that they're going to walk into a Sada, but a Rosh Hashanah L'tumah, but it does have the status of Rosh Hashanah as far as Safik Tumah is concerned, because we know that there's a halacha that Safik Tumah Rosh Hashanah is Tameh, Safik Tumah Rosh Hashanah is Tahar. That is not a logical halacha, that's derived from the fact that when the Torah describes the Parsha of Sota, the Torah describes if a Sota is guilty, he uses the Lashon of Tumah. So from the fact that the Torah used the Lashon of Tumah, and the whole Parsha of Sota is that we're not sure what happened. She went into have Stira, or which is a fancy word for Yichud, but may have different Kedarim than Yichud has, into a room with a guy. So we don't know what happened in that room. So the whole thing is a Safek. So we learn from there that Safek Tumah Bereshus HaYachid is Tameh, and Memela Safek Tumah Bereshus HaRabim is Tahar. So one of the different Kedarim as far as Sota is concerned between Yichud one of the different Gedarim between Safik Tumah Bereshus HaRabim versus, let's say, the status of Rishus HaRabim when it comes to Shabbos, is that Rishus HaRabim when it comes to Shabbos, you may require Shishim Ribo, may have to be 600,000 people. When it comes to Tumah, for sure not. For sure you don't need 600,000 people. Just having several people there, three people there, may be enough to be a Rishus HaRabim. You guys like this apocalyptic feeling? What's going on over here? So, okay, so anyway, so Savi Tumah B'Rishus HaRabim is Tahar. So the din of a Bika is a Rishus HaRabim, and a Safik Tumah in a Bika is going to be Tahar. Why? Because it's not called a Rishus Yachad as far as Tumah is concerned, unless it's a place where people could hide. It's a place where people could be alone and feel alone. A Bika during the summertime is not a place where someone could feel alone, because there are people that come in all the time. But it's not enough people to come in for it to be considered Rosh Hashanah Rabim for Shabbos. You're not going to have that many people veer off the path of the Rosh Hashanah Rabim to end up in the Bika. But as far as Tumah is concerned, it's Rosh Hashanah Rabim. But it'd be most Gashamim when it comes to the winter time, where the rainy season, where the Bika is planted, and people do not go in because they don't want to destroy the plants that are there. They don't want to destroy whatever is planted there. They don't want to destroy the grain. Rosh Hashanah Then it's Rosh Hashanah, even with regard to Tumah, because you know that you're safe there. You know that nobody's going to come in there. And it's Safik Tumah, Rosh Hashanah, the Halacha is going to be Tameh. So the Mishnah apparently is telling us that as far as Shabbos is concerned, a Bika is a Rosh Hashanah. And that's our issue. We're not so interested in the Tumah issue right now. As far as Shabbos is concerned, we just got through saying in the Brisa that a Bika is a Karmelis. But here you have explicitly that a Bika is a Rishos Hayachid. So says Gemara, Amar Ula Liolam Karmelis Avya. Really, it's a Karmelis. And therefore, if you throw from Rishos Harabim to it, you're going to be Pater. Meaning, you're going to be Pater Avalasar. It's going to be Asamit Rabbanan, but you're going to be Pater because a Karmelis on a Daraisa level is really like a Makom Patur. You're not going to be Chayiv. My Karila Rishos Hayachid. Why do we call it a Rishos Hayachid? Lefisha in Rishos Harabim. It's called a Rishos Hayachid in that it's similar to Rishos Hayachid in that it's not a Rishos Harabim, meaning since the Tana had to call a Bika a Rishos Hayachid with regard to Tumah, so it anyway calls a Rishos Hayachid also with regard to Shabbos because it's somewhat like a Rishos Hayachid with regard to Shabbos. In that, it's not a Rishos Harabim. That's one answer, Rav Ashi Amar. And a second answer that Kigon the Islam Mechitzos, that when the Mishnah says in Taros that it's a Rishos Hayachid as far as Shabbos is concerned, we're talking about a Bika that has a Mechitza. So every Bika, if it's mukafas mechitzos, is considered Rishus Yachid min HaTorah. Even a bika that's very, very large, even if it's more than Beis Asayim. Beis Asayim is 50 amos by 100 amos. So, which we learned yesterday, has like this, we mentioned yesterday, it didn't come up in the actual daf, but we mentioned one of the mefarshim, that an area that's 50 amos by 100 amos, it's an open field, that's a field, but is mukaf mechitzos, but it's not hukaf ledira, so it doesn't have the full status of Rishus HaYachid. You're not allowed to carry dalet amos with in it, but on a Doraisa level, it has a status of Rosh Hashanah Yachid. If your house is not near it, before you're surrounded with walls, the Chacham asks you to be metaltel dal ramos within it, just like a Carmelis, but nevertheless minat Torah to Rosh Hashanah Yachid because it has mechitzos. So someone who throws from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim into it is going to be chayiv. So when the Braisa says that a bik has a din of a Carmelis, it means if it's not mukefes mechitzos. So Rav Ashi brings a makar for his idea from Rabbi Yochanan. The chiha da amar ula am Rabbi Yochanan. That which we say that a bika that's surrounded by walls has its status of Rishus Yachid as far as throwing from Rishus Yachid into it is supported by what Ula said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Karp if you also in Beis Saim Shalohu Kaf Ladira, if you have an open area that's not surrounded that's not roofed, but it is surrounded by mechitzos, and it's a larger than Beis Saim area. It's more than 50 amos by 100 amos. A beisa is 50 amos by 50 amos. A beis asayim is 50 amos by 100 amos. Shalohu kafla dira, and it's not surrounded by walls for the sake of dira. At the time that they surround the mechitzos, it's you don't have a house bordering right on that property. Vafilu kar, and even if it's a base kar, meaning where you could plant three sa of grain, so it's 50 amos by 150 amos. Vafilu karayim, and even if you could plant 60 sa. Of grain, you could, which is I can't do the math, and 50 amos by 300 amos. So even though you're not allowed to be metaltel more than dalet amos in it, hazorik letocho, if you throw from a rishus rabim into it, chayiv, you're chayiv because on a daraisa level, it's a rishus yach, my taima. Why is it that you're chayiv? Mechitzahi el shem chaseres diurin. The mechitza that surrounds the karpif min hatorah has the status of a mechitza and turns it into rishus yachid. It's just that the Chacham made a din that you're not allowed to be metalkal into it because there's no one that lives in it. So it's in that sense, it's like a Rishus Rabbim. So too, a Bika that's Mekafes Mechitzos is Rishus Yachim in Torah. It's just because it doesn't have anyone living there, the Chacham asked her to be metalkal in it, and they treat it like Rishus Rabbim as far as Tiltul Dalet Amos is concerned. So essentially what the Gemara had was one question, two answers. On the one hand, the question was, on the one hand, the Braisa had said that a Bika has a din of a Karmelis, but we have a Mishnah in Taharos that tells us that a Bika has a din of a Rishus HaYachid when it comes to Shabbos. So Ula's answer was, of course it doesn't mean Rishus HaYachid. Karmelis, that's what it really meant. Rishus HaYachid just means Karmelis. And Rav Ashi says, no, really Rishus HaYachid. It's just that we're talking about that it's surrounded by Mechitzos. So says Mar Bishlam Rav Ashi Lo Amar Kadula. I understand Rav Ashi doesn't want to say the Mishnah in Taharos means what Ula says it means, that even though it's a Karmelis, the Tana just decided to call it Rishus HaYachid. You know, tonight there's a Talmudic phrase phrase, Chachamim hizaru b'divreichem, that the Chachamim have to be careful about the words that they use, because people can get the wrong impression from a turn of phrase. So the Chachamim are going to take something that's actually called a karmelus, and they're going to call it a rishus hayachid. That's a horrible mislabeling in halacha that's going to cause averus. So how you got to say that the Mishnah is talking about something that's actually a rishus hayachid. But why didn't Ula want to say like his own answer? Meaning, what was Ravashi's answer based on? It was based on what Ula said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. That no matter how big your karpef is, once you have it surrounded by mechitzos, it has a din of Rishos Yachim Nidaraisa. Why didn't Ula just use his own din that he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan to explain the Mishnah Taros? Why does he have to instead say the Mishnah Taros was just labeling the area inaccurately? So Amar Lach, so Ula would answer, Ida Islam Mechitzos, Pika Karila? Karpefi. No, because then you're mislabeling it by calling it a bika. You would call it a karpef. If it was surrounded by mechitzos, the word to describe such an area is not a bika, it's a karpef. Rav Ashi, Rishos Hayachid Katani, and Rav Ashi would say, the reason we say that it's talking about a bika that's mukafas mechitzos, and he doesn't want to say, like Ula, that we're calling it a karmelus, even though it's a Rishos Hayachid, is because it said the words Rishos Hayachid in the Mishnah, and you can't call a karmelus a Rishos Hayachid, meaning I'd rather you mislabel the name of the type of field than you mislabel the name of the halachic Rishos. You mislabel the name of the type of field, so you're being imprecise in terms of describing, describing a field. You mislabel the Rishos, you're imprecise in halacha. So the Tanoim are not going to be imprecise in the halacha. So now the Gemara goes back to the Brisa of Arba Rishios that we had in the Vav Amid Aleph and explains Vayter. Veha Karmelis, right? So what did it say? That a yam, a bikis, tavonis, and a karmelis, all of those things have a din of a karmelis. So atu kulunami lav karmelis ninu. I mean, we gave three examples of a karmelis, and then we threw on top of that a karmelis. All of the examples we gave are karmelis. So it says Mar Kiyasu Evdimi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, when Evdimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, during the Tekuva of Abaye and Rava, there was a lot of shmad in Eretz Yisrael, and there weren't many poskim there. So a lot of the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael ended up in Bavel. So Ravin and Ravdimi were among those Chachamim who ended up in Bavel. So when Ravdimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Bavel was the center of the Torah universe. That's why the Gemara says that we saw in Maseches Brachos that a lot of the Amoraim did not allow people to be Olam Mibavel to Eretz Yisrael. That when one wanted to go, I forgot who it was already, he had to avoid his Rebbe, because his Rebbe wasn't going to let him go from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. So where the Torah was in Bavel, so Kiyas Ravdimi, when Ravdimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Nischa L'Keren Zavis Hasmucha L'Rishus Rabbim. The Braisa says Karmelis to tell us another type of location that's also Karmelis, and that is if a person has a little open area near the Rishus Rabbim and he builds a house there, but he doesn't build it all the way up until the border of the Rishus Rabbim. He leaves some space, like some zoning space, you know, where you're not allowed to go right up until the edge of the property, and since he has this open space between his house and the actual Rosh Hashanah, he allows people to walk in there sometimes. So the Afal Gav Dezimnin Dedachki Bei Rabbim Va'ayli Legava, even though sometimes the Rabbim end up in that area because there's sometimes the Rosh Hashanah gets very crowded. Kivin Delanicha Tashmishtei, since it's not a place that's meant for the use of the Rabbim because it takes you off your straight path, Ki Karmelis Dami. So that's why it has the status of a Karmelis. And that's what we mean when we say Karmelis. It's coming to add that unique Rishus where a person has built his house a little bit further in to allow and allows people to utilize that that space. So good. Then we had said that a Platya is a Rishus Rabbim. What's a Platya? It's the Rechava Shel Ir. It's where people gather to do business and to sell their wares. So the Gemara brings certain places where a Platya has a din of a Karmelis. Kiyas Rav Dimi Amar Rabbi Yochanan. When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Bein ha'amudin, that in between the posts that are set in the Rechava Shel Ir, where people gather for schora and the sochrim put their schora that they're selling on these posts, nidon ki karmelis, it has a din of a karmelis. My time, well, why isn't considered Rishus Rabbim, even though it's the Rechava Chava itself is Rosh Hashanah, so why is Bein HaAmudim in between these posts where they sell their wares, why is that not a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? So says Gemara, Afal Gav De Darsi Bar Rabbim, Kivin De La Mistagi Lu B'Hedya, Ke Karmelis Damiya. Even though a lot of people go there, but nevertheless, since the people cannot go there easily without something getting in the way, because there are these Amudim there, so if you try to walk straight, you'll walk right into a pole, you know, and they're somewhat long and wide, and it's not gonna, and they're not mesudar in a straight line. So you got to like work through the maze of these poles, so it doesn't make for easy walking. So that's why it's a karma l'san Rosh Hashanah, because there are a lot of people that are trying to sort of navigate their way through these poles. Amar Rabbi Zeir, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, it's tava the bench that the sochrim sit on shalifnei amudim that are in front of those amudim nidon ki karmelis, also as a din of a karmelis. So lemandi Amar Bein Amudim Koshkin, it's tava. If you hold that the area Bein HaAmudim is a din of a karmelis, for sure the Yitztava itself, because going on the Yitztava is even more difficult than Bein HaAmudim. Bein HaAmudim, you're at least at ground level. You just have to weave your way in between the poles. But the Yitztava is above ground level. So that for sure would have a din of a karmelis. Mandi Amar Yitztava, Yitztava lo nichat hashmishtei, aval Bein HaAmudim nichat hashmishtei lo. But if you say that an Yitztava is a din of a karmelis, I might say, yeah, because that's not easy for the Bnei Rosh Hasharavim to utilize the Yitztava. But Bein HaAmudim, which is much easier, you just have to be careful not to walk into a pole. So that's not considered a karmelis. That might be considered a Rosh Hasharavim. Lishna Achrina, another way to explain the chiluk between Yitztava and Bein HaAmudim, Aval Bein HaAmudim, Dizim Didarsi Le Rabim, Kirish Hasharavim Dami. That it's not that Bein HaAmudim, that it's Nichat Hashmishte, but Bein HaAmudim, that it's actually Kivat Zimna Didarsi Le Rabim. That sometimes the Rabim actually are forced into that area. And that's why it's considered Rosh Hashanah as opposed to on the Yitztava, where the Rabim are never really forced onto the Yitztavaos. So now the Gemara discusses placing an object doing a hanacha on an object that's already in a Rosh Hasharabim. So you don't place it down directly in the Rosh Hasharabim, you place it on top of an object that's in the Rosh Hasharabim. So Amir Rav Rashi Lam Rav Chista Levena Zakufa Rosh Hasharabim. You have an upright brick that's in the Rosh Hasharabim. Vizarak Vitach Bifaneha. And you throw an object four amos in the Rosh Hasharabim and it sticks to the side of the brick. So you throw something that's very sticky, you know, like those kids' toys that they throw on the ceiling and then it stains your ceiling forever, right, until you repaint, right? So you throw one of those things, you know, one of those hands or whatever, directly on the in the Rosh Hashanah four amos, and it sticks to the side of the brick. So chayiv, you're chayiv because the surface of the levena has the dinner of Rosh Hashanah. But al gaba pater, but if it lands on top of the brick, then you're pater because it's considered to be its own separate makom. It's not considered to be Rosh Hashanah. Abayi Rami Damri Tarvayhu. But that's only if the brick is three tfachim off the ground, because then people can't just step on it. Meaning, if you imagine you have a pebble on the ground, and so something lands on the pebble on the ground, of course it's a Rosh Hasharabim. I mean, there has to be some height to this brick in order to be ma'akev the path of the rabbim. But anything that's within three tfachim of the ground is loved. That's just considered part of the ground. So if you throw something dal ramos from Rosh Hasharabim and it lands on something that's within three tfachim of the ground, that's hanach in the Rosh Hasharabim. Aval hizmi vihigi, but little types of thorn bushes that are in the Rosh Hasharabim. Aval gavda lo gavi shlosha, even though they're not three tefachim tall, they're still not considered Rosh Hasharabim, because people don't want to walk on thorns. They're going to hurt themselves. They all wore sandals. V'chia barava, afilu hizmi vihigi, even hizmi and higi, which have a status of Rosh Hasharabim, if they're less than three tefachim tall, because you're able to trample them with your shoes. Aval tsoa, but if you have excrement, lo. No one wants to, right, everyone tries to avoid that, right? You never see someone walking down and say, you know, and don't say, watch out, right? And the person sees it, he immediately tries to watch out. He doesn't want to step in something like that. So that's going to be considered a makom ptur. Rav Ashi Amar, afilu tzoa. Even if the tzoa is less than three tefachim high, it's considered Rosh Hasharabim. And if you throw something and it lands on tzoa that's in Rosh Hasharabim, you're going to be chayiv. So good. That's as far as the Rosh Hasharabim is concerned. When you have something else that protrudes above ground in the Rosh Hasharabim, whether it has the status of Rosh Hasharabim, harabim. So again, if it's more than three tefachim off the ground, no doubt that is no longer considered rishus harabim as far as something that lands on top of it, on the surface, on the face of it, yes, but on top of it, no. And sometimes even if it's less than three tefachim, if it's something that the rabim would dafka try to avoid, possibly a thorn bush, and definitely and also possibly further machlokas when it comes to tzoa. Amar Rabba, Debe Rav Shila from the Beis Medrash of Rav Shila, ki asa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came, Amar Rav Yochanan, he said in the name of Rav Yochanan, ein karmelis p'chusame arba'a, that a karmelis always has to be at least four tefachim wide, meaning the din of a karmelis is only when you have an area of dalet al dalet tefachim. If it doesn't have that shear, then it's not a karmelis, it fits into a fourth category, not a Rosh Hashanah, not a Rosh Yochanan, not a karmelis, but a makom p'tur. And therefore, it's mutal l'chadchila to take from it between two Rosh Hashanah and to take from it to Rosh Hashanah, or to take from Rosh Hashanah to it or Rosh Hashanah to it. Va'amar Rav Sheshes v'tofeses ad asara. And the Carmelis has a status of a Carmelis until 10 tefachim of height. So we'll have to explain what that means. So says Gemara, let's explain what that means. May v'tofeses ad asara. What does it mean that it's tofes until 10 tefachim of height? I lema di'i kamechitza asara. Hudavi Carmelis, if you mean to tell me that if there's a 10 tefach high wall, that's when it has a din of a Carmelis. So you have a bika that's surrounded by a wall that's more than, and the bika is more than base asayim, it's not a hukaf ladira. So the ilo, and if it doesn't have a mechitza asara tefachim, lo avi Carmelis, then it's not a Carmelis. Velo, is that true that a place doesn't have a mechitza of 10 tefachim, it's not a Carmelis? From Rav Gidol Amrachia Bar Yosef, from Rav, by Yishain Betocha Asara, the Kiruya Mashlimal Asara. Let's say you have a house that the inside of the house does not have a height of 10 tefachim, but when you consider the width of the ceiling as well, so then from the outside it measures 10 tefachim because the ceiling has a certain width to it. So al gago, so on the roof of the house, so from the outside it's 10 tefachim high, it's a rishus yachid, mutal taltal bakulo. So you're allowed to walk all along the roof of the house and carry things. Bitocha, but inside the house where it doesn't have mechitza, it's 10 tefachim tall, ein mitaltal ba'al arba amos. You're only allowed to carry 4 amos. Why? Because that is a din of a karmelis. So you see, not having a mechitza of 10 tefachim is what puts something in the status of a karmelis. If it has a mechitza of asar, it's not a karmelis, it's a rishus yachid. It's exactly the opposite of how we're trying to explain Rav Sheshes right now. Right? Rav Sheshes says, it's tofeses ad asara. Tofeses ad asara can't possibly mean that it has a mechitza of asar tefachim. Mechitza of asar tefachim is what defines a rishus yachid. A karmelis does not have a mechitza of asar tefachim. So what does v'tofeses ad asara mean? Says Gemara, a second possibility. Aval mai v'tofeses ad asara, da'ad asara that up until 10 tefachim of airspace, it has the status of karmelis. But more than 10 tefachim off the ground, the airspace is no longer considered a karmelis. It's considered to be a makom p'tur beyond that, and therefore you're allowed to be motzi mitocho between to rishus yachid and or a rishus harabim, as Rashi points out. The avir karmelis, let's say you assume klutz kamishon chadamia and you throw through that space. If you assume klutz kamishon chadamia, that which like we had in Dav Dalid, right? That even something that's in mid air is considered as if it's resting. So if you throw through that space and it's more than 10 tefachim above the level of the karmelis, even though you're throwing from a rishus yachid to another rishus yachid on the other side, it's not considered that you threw it through a karmelis because above 10 tefachim is considered a makom p'tur. So the Gemara brings a makor for that din. V'ki ha'damer and it's like Shmuel told Rabbi Yehuda, Shinina, lo tavi bimili de Shabsa. Don't discuss dinim of Hotzalas of Shabbos, l'malame asara, beyond 10 tefachim off the ground, ta'asrit. Because there's no din of a Rishus, that l'malame asara does not have the same din as the Rishus that's below asara tefachim. So you should realize that once you're talking about 10 tefachim, more than 10 tefachim above the ground level, you're no longer talking about the same rishus. Well, the Mahilch, so what, is that always true? That whatever the rishus is on the ground level, it changes when it's more than 10 tefachim above the ground level? No, it's not always true. So he's talking about something specific. If he means to say that the status of rishus yachid doesn't exist more than 10 tefachim off the ground, no, it's kind of rishus yachid, v'zarak v'nachal gabav, that if you stick a pole in rishus yachid and you throw an object from rishus rabim and it rests on top of that pole, It doesn't matter how tall that pole is. It could be 100 amos tall. Chayiv, you're still chayiv for throwing something from Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYachid, because the Rishus HaMeshah Rishus HaYachid Olad the Rakia, because the entire airspace above the Rishus HaYachid is considered Rishus HaYachid. So that can't be what Shmuel means, that don't start talking about Hilcha Shabbos L'malamei Asar Tzvachim, because all the Rishus change. No, Rishus HaYachid does not change when it's L'malamei Asar Tzvachim. So what does he mean? Ella, what he means is De'ein Rishus HaRabim L'malamei Asar Tzvachim, that L'malamei Asar, that you don't have the status of Rishus HaRabim when you're talking about L'malamei Asar Tzvachim, meaning the whole airspace of the Rishus HaRabim is only within 10 Tzvachim of the ground. Beyond 10 Tzvachim of the ground, that has a din of a Makom Patur. So why does Shmuel have to tell me that? Masnisani, I don't need Shmuel for that. That's a Mishnah. Ditnan, we haven't gotten there. It's a Mishnah later on in the Masechta, but the Mishnah tells us that Hazorik Arba Amos Bekos. If a person throws something sticky, like again one of those cheap toys, that he throws it four amos in Rishus Rabim, and it lands on the surface of a wall on the that's in Rishus Rabim. So the malame asar tefachim, if it's more than 10 tefachim off the ground, kizorik ba'avir. So then it's like you just threw it in the air and you're potter because it didn't land in Rishus Rabim. But the matame asar tefachim, if it landed within 10 tefachim of the ground, kizorik ba'aretz. Then it's like you threw it on the ground and you're actually going to be chayiv, because the Aver of Rishus Rabim within 10 Tefachim of the ground is considered Rishus Rabim, and the surface of the wall in that area has a din of Avir. So you see Beferish that L'malam Me'asara from a Mishnah, that L'malam Me'asara is not considered Rishus Rabim. So I don't need Shmuel to tell me this din. So again, Shmuel told me some sort of din that anything that's L'malam Me'asara, it changes the status of the Rishus. Now here's what we know. He could not have been talking about Rishus Yaakov, because it's not true that L'malam Me'asara changes Rishus, and he could not have been talking about Rishus Rabim, because it's obvious that L'malam Me'asara changes Rishus. So what could he have been talking about? Ella, a Carmelist. It must be that when Shmuel said, Lo Tav Milut Shabbat L'malam Me'asara, he was talking about a Carmelist. They ain't Carmelist, L'malam Me'asara. They don't have the status of a Carmelist more than 10 Tefachim off the ground. That since the surface of the wall has a din of Avir, the object that's attached to it is like it's in a Makom Patur. And it turns out that Rav Shesha says about a Carmelist, V'tofes is exactly what Shmuel is telling us. Now, above 10 Tefachim, it changes the status, no longer has a din of Carmelis. Now, we had said on Amar Aleph that Rav Dimi said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that a Carmelis always needs to be 4 by 4 Tefachim wide, and then Rav Sheshes added that a Carmelis is Tofes until 10 Tefachim. So the Gemara brings the reason for each. V'akilu barabanan mekuli rishus yachon mekuli rishus harabim. The Rabbanan applied to a Carmelis, since the whole thing is only midrabanan, certain kulas of Rishus Yaakov, certain kulas of Rishus Rabim. Meaning, we're familiar with the idea that a Carmelist has chumras of both Rishus Yaakov and Rishus Rabim, in the sense that you're not allowed to carry from Rishus Rabim to it as if it's a Rishus Yaakov, nor from Rishus Yaakov to it as if it's a Rishus Rabim, nor four amos within it as if it's a Rishus Rabim. But it also has kulas of Rishus Yaakov and Rishus Rabim. So, mikuli Rishus Yaakov, di iika makom arba'a hu da'avya Carmelist, vi lo makom torbialmahu. In terms of its definition, that just like there's a din of Rishus Yachid only applies when something is 4 Tefachim by 4 Tefachim, and someone who's machnas mir Rishus Rabim to a place that's less than 4 Tefachim by 4 Tefachim is Potter, so to a Carmelis. Only if it's 4 Tefachim by 4 Tefachim does it have a din of a Carmelis. Less than that is a Makom Patur, and you're allowed to be machnas from a Rishus Rabim or from a Rishus Yachid into it. And Rav Sheshes tells us, and Mikuli Rishus Rabim, we also give it one of the kulas of Rishus Rabim, which is Da Adasar Tefachim Hu Da Havya Carmelis. That just like Rosh Hashanah only is Tofes the Avir, like the Mishnah's going to say in Daf Kuf that we just quoted, is only Tofes the Avir up until 10 Tefachim, Carmelis is also only Tofes the Avir until 10 Tefachim. I mean, the bottom line is that a Carmelis really, really has the status of a Makom Patur. It's just that the Rabbanan were Machmir. So we retained the Makom Patur status when it didn't meet certain criteria. When it didn't meet 4 by 4 Tefachim, and when it's more than 10 Tefachim off the ground, then we maintain the Doraisa Makom Patur status. Gufa. The Gemara discusses Vaita. We just said the Amrav Gidol Amrav Chia Bar Yosef Amrav Bayis She'in Tocha Asara. We mentioned sort of parenthetically in the previous Amun that if you have a bayis that the inside of the bayis is less than 10 tefachim tall, what we call a Masecha Sukkah, a Dira Srucha, that it's not so usable for living if it's less than 10 tefachim tall. But for Kiruya Mashlim Ala Asara, but then the width of the ceiling, the width of the roof is Mashlim to 10. So al gago mutal taltal bakulo. So if you're walking along the roof of the house, you're in Rosh Hashanah. It could be metaltal things all along the roof. Bitocho ain't metaltal b'al barba amos. But if you're inside the house, you're only allowed to go up until 4 amos. So amar abayi v'imchakak bo. But if you carve out in the karka of the house, you dig out arba'a al arba'a, a space that's 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, v'yishlima la asara, and that space is 1 tefach deep into the ground, and therefore it makes the walls of the house, it makes the height of the house from the inside 10 tefachim. So then mutal taltal b'kulo. Now you've turned it into Rosh Hashanah, and you can be metaltal throughout the entire house, even the parts that are not inside that ditch. I mean, you dug a ditch inside the house that's a square that's 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. That's a tefach deep. But the house itself is way bigger than 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. Nevertheless, you're allowed to carry throughout the entire house, even the part that's only where you're standing right next to a wall that's only 9 tefachim high from your perspective. So my time, well, why is it that you're allowed to carry throughout the whole thing? Have a chore rishos hayachid. The rest of the house, the part that's not inside that ditch, has a status of walls of holes in the walls that are open to rishos hayachid. If you have little cubbies, little holes in the wall of a rishos hayachid, that's also considered Rosh Hashanah. It itself is not 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim and 10 tefachim 12. Yeah, but it borders on the Rosh Hashanah, and therefore its usage is for those in a Rosh Hashanah. Mimele is considered to be batal to the Rosh Hashanah. It becomes part of the Rosh Hashanah. Where do we see such a din of Chari Rosh Hashanah? The Itmar Chari Rosh Hashanah, Chari Rosh Rabim. When it comes to Chari Rosh Hashanah, it has a din of Rosh Hashanah. When it comes to Chorim that are in the walls that are right next to Rosh Hashanah, Sabayi Amar Rosh Hashanah. Abai says it actually has the status of Rosh Hashanah. Rava Amar, Rava disagrees. He says Lav Rosh Hashanah. It doesn't have the status of Rosh Hashanah. It's its own separate Rosh Hashanah. And if they're 4x4 tefachim, they would have a din of a karmelis. And therefore, if they're not 4x4 tefachim, they would have a din of a makom patur. So again, the homach looks Abai and Rava is only about chorei Rosh Hashanah. Do we say that it becomes part of the Rosh Hashanah? Do we say the holes in the wall that border on Rosh Hashanah is you look at it like a makom Tour slash Carmelis, depending on its dimensions. So Rava says, "Abai lidi dachdam and Chorish Hashram, Chorish Hashram damu." You who want to say the Chorish Hashram have a status of Rosh Hashanah, Maishna meha. Why would this be any different from what we said on Amar Aleph? The Chiyas Rav Dimi, Amar Rav Yochanan, that when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said in the name of Rav Yochanan, Lo Mitzcha LeKaren Zavis Asmucha LeRosh Hashanah. That the Brice that listed those places that are a Carmelis and then added to the list a place called Carmelis was talking about a very specific case where someone builds his house in on his property, and he allows the people of the Bnei Rosh Hashanah to walk past there, to walk into what is technically his property, and that has a din of a Carmelis. So, according to you, why is the Karen Zav as a Carmelis? V'tavikar chor Rosh Hashanah. Meaning, if the holes in the wall that border on Rosh Hashanah have a status of Rosh Hashanah because it's like batal to the Rosh Hashanah, it's for the usage of the Bnei Rosh Hashanah. So, too, if a guy builds his house further in on his property, and he actually allows the Bnei Rosh Hashanah to use that area, and they do, the overflow crowds from the Rosh Hashanah use that area, shouldn't that be a Chorei Rosh Hashanah? And yet, we not only give it the status of Carmelis, you know what the Braisa called that? It called it a Carmelis. So how can you say that such a thing, such an area, has a Shevedin of Rosh Hashanah? So he says, no. Over there by the Karen Zavis case, by the guy who brought his house in on his property, it's not easy for the Bnei Rosh Hashanah to use it because it takes you off of your path. But if you have these convenient cubbies and the walls lining the Rosh Hashanah, so then it's very easy to use it and to put your objects there if you're in the Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara asks another kasha on Abaye, kasha number 2 on Abaye. Tanan, we have a Mishnah later on. Hazorik Arba Amos Bekosel, we saw this Mishnah as well. You throw something that's 4 Amos in Rosh Hashanah. Shabbat, and it lands on the wall, so the Malam Ayasara, if it lands on the surface of the wall, more than 10 Tvachim off the ground, Kizarik Ba'avir, that's a Makom Ptur. Lematam Ayasara Tvachim Kizarik Ba'aretz. But if it lands on the surface of the wall, the face of the wall, less than 10 Tvachim from the ground, so then you throw it in Rosh Hashanah, and you'd be chayv for being Mavir Dal Ramas Rosh Hashanah. So we discuss this mission, we say, my Kizarik Ba'aretz. What do you mean that when it goes Lematam Ayasara Tvachim, it's as if you threw it on the ground? V'halonach, but it didn't land on the wall, because the object is not able to rest on the wall unless meaning we're assuming that it's not one of those sticky things. That's going to be that's going to be the answer to this question. But we're assuming that when you throw something against the wall, you take a tennis ball, you throw it against the wall, it doesn't stick to the wall, it bounces right back. So where's your hanacha? So Rabbi Yochanan bidvei l'shmeina shanu. So Rabbi Yochanan says, no, we're talking about one of those sticky things that sticks to the surface of the wall. But bottom line is, if you're going to say that a Chorish Hashem has a din of Rosh Hashem, why do you have to say that it's a Tvei L'Shmein and it sticks to the face of the wall? You could say better, you could say it's a rock, it's a tennis ball, it's an object, and it landed in a crevice in the wall, right? You ever, you play, in different contexts, you throw a ball against a chain link fence, right? So the tennis ball sometimes gets stuck in the, you ever play tennis in North Windsor Park, right? The ball gets stuck in the chain link fence. So if you have a hole in the wall, and that's going to be a chore rishos harabim, why not say that that's the case? That it actually gets stuck inside the crevice in the wall. So says Gemara, if that's really true, that would have a dinner of Rosh Hashanah as well. So the Gemara has two answers. Answer number one, zimnin mishanile. Sometimes Abaye would answer this question, that we're not talking about a wall that has a hole in it, and shiny tzror v'chefetz to mehadr va'asi, that a tzror and a chefetz will bounce right back when you throw it, and they wouldn't stay where you threw it to, and that's we'd rather not say that we're talking about a place where there's a hole. And zimni mishanilei, and sometimes Abaye says b'kosel, I'm sorry, zimni mishanilei that really we are talking about a kosel that has a hole in it. The first answer was that we are talking about a kosel that has a hole in it, and nevertheless Rabbi Yochanan didn't want to say that that's what the Mishnah is talking about. Because shiny tzror v'chefetz, because if you throw a rock or you throw an object, mahadr va'asi, they do tend to bounce back when you throw them. They normally wouldn't rest in the place that they fell, and therefore you shouldn't say that's what the Mishnah is talking about. But zimn mishanila, sometimes he answered it because of the les bechar, that we're talking about a wall that doesn't have a hole in it, and because of one of these two reasons, Rabbi Yochanan had to say that the Mishnah is talking about a dvei l'shmeina that attaches to the wall and not an object that rests in a hole in the wall. So says the Gemara, Mimai, how do I know that we're talking about a wall that does not have a hole in it? Midiktani Resha, because the Resha of the Mishnah says, Zarak lemalame asar tfachim, kizarik ba'avir, that if you threw it and it landed more than 10 tfachim off the ground against the wall, then it's like you're throwing in the airspace of that's more than 10 tfachim off of the Rosh Hashanah, which is a makom ptur. But v'yisal kadaitach, because of this bechor, but if you're talking about walls that have these crevices in it, so my kizarik, why would that be throwing it to a makom ptur? Hanach v'char, but it's resting in the hole, and the din of the char is a rishus yachid, because it's more than 10 tefachim off the ground, and you threw from rishus rabim into rishus yachid. And you have to remember their walls were very, very thick. So you're talking about a wall that's more than 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, and you threw it and landed in a hole in that wall that's more than 10 tefachim off the ground. That's rishus yachid. So why would you say that it's like a makom ptur? You should be chayer for that. So that's how we know we must not be talking about holes in the wall. We must be talking about a wall that has a flat surface. V'chitema, and if you're going to say masnisin telesbar balarba, oh no, who says that it's Rosh Hashanah? Maybe the type of wall that we're talking about now is not like those big brick walls that we speak about in the beginning of Maseches Baba Basra, where it's 6 tefachim wide, it's 5 tefachim wide, it's 4 tefachim, maybe it's less than 4 tefachim wide. It's like those very which was considered a thin wall, and that's why your potter when it lands more than 10 tefachim off the ground, because it's not a makom chashuv. V'amrav Yehuda amrav Chia zarak lemalam yasar tefachim v'halch v'nachu b'chor kolshu. Rabbi Yehuda said if you threw something, an object in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and it lands more than 10 tefachim off the ground, and in a crevice that's not 4x4 tefachim, banu l'machlokas Rameir v'Rabbanan. That's going to be tali in the machlokas Rameir v'Rabbanan that we have in Mesechus Yuma and Daf Yud Aleph in the mezuzah sugya. What does this have to do with mezuzah? The Rameir savar chokikin l'hashlim. Rameir says even if the hole, let's say the doorway that you have, doesn't have a shear of a doorway to be chayiv in mezuzah, but if it has a thickness that's ra'ui, if you were to carve it out further and to even it out, it would be mashlim the shear. So we view it as if it's fully carved out to be mashlim the shear of 4 tefachim of width by 10 tefachim of height, and it's to be chayiv in mezuzah. Rabbanan, meaning, let's say you have like one of those archways, right? So if you were to turn that archway into a right angle, right, then it would be 10 tefachim high by 4 tefachim wide. It's more than 4 tefachim wide at the bottom. At its highest point, it's more than 10 tefachim high. So by chokik and mahashlim, we view it as if it's all carved out as a perfect right angle. Rabbanan savri, ein chokik and mahashlim. Rabbanan say, we do not apply this principle of chokik and mahashlim to the shear that's chayiv in mezuzah, and therefore it's patur. So over here also, if the kosel has a chor, but it's less than 4 by 4 tefachim, according to Rav Meir, you should be chayiv if you threw an object from Rosh Hashanah and it landed in that chor, because we'd say chokik and mahashlim, that you view it as if it's a Rosh Hashanah. But the Rabbanan would say, you're not chokik and mahashlim. The bottom line is, it landed on a place that's less than 4 by 4 tefachim, memela, that's a makom patur. So this Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah, and every Stam Mishnah follows Shitas Rav Meir. According to Rav Meir, you should be chayiv because chokik and mahashlim. And yet the Mishnah said, you're not chayiv. The Mishnah said that if it lands the Malamei Asar Tvachim, you're not going to be chayiv. But if every Stam Mishnah is Rav Meir, you should have been chayiv. Elav Shmamina, because of the Les Bechor Shmamina. So it must be that we're talking about a Kosel that doesn't have a Chor, and that's why Rabbi Yochanan had to say that you're dealing with something sticky and it lands on the surface of the wall. So that's our Raya, that's the case of the Mishnah. Okay, Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at 2 dots.